is let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely, in other words, once we experience, watch this, cleansing perfection, which we have, then as surely as the sun arises, then we know manifesting perfection is on the way. But to get it, you have to press on to know the Lord. It's not going to just happen. We have to press in. That's what Paul said. I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus. And then when He appears, He's going to come to us as the latter and the former reign together, which is a symbolism for the Spirit without measure. Hitherto and now we have the former reign moderately. We already have the Holy Ghost. We have the former reign. But it is the earnest. We're now pressing on to get the former and latter reign together, which is the Spirit without measure. Hence these teachings on the school of perfection. That's where we're teaching all of these things, because we're in the season. The Bible says, you know, the sons of Issachar, typifying a type of the prophetic, of which by the mercy and the grace of God were a part, you know, had understanding of the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. And I can tell you right off the bat right now, you know what Israel ought to do? Pressing on. Pressing in for the prize of life. That's what you should be doing now. Any other thing now is a waste of time. Because God's program now is for the church to move into the manifestation of the Spirit without measure of the glory of God. Hence these teachings. Shall we just bow to pray for a minute? Lord, have mercy on us. We receive your blood to cleanse from all unrighteousness, your life and your power. Again, we're grateful for making it possible for us to assemble together. Thank you for your word. Thank you. As we go into the word now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word, Lord, will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own lives individually, all individually agreed and said. So we're teaching using Jesus as our pattern and as our goal. The Apostle Paul teaches us this pattern. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And this is a very important injunction, because you're not supposed to follow any man blindly. I think the person who put it nicely, I love what he said many years ago, Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory. He said that, you know, he said, check me out. Go to the Bible and make sure that what I'm saying, you know, is in line with the Word of God. You know, and I remember an experience, you know, these thoughts just come to me by the Spirit of God, you know, that Kenneth Hagin himself had with Jesus. One of the visions, one of the first ones that appeared to him, you know, he had an experience. Jesus appeared to him in the vision and was teaching him from God's word. And an evil spirit, you know, came in between Jesus and Kenneth Hagin and was making noise. And Kenneth Hagin couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And Kenneth Hagin was wondering, but why doesn't the Lord do something about that? You know, I mean, but Jesus kept on talking. Jesus just kept on talking as if everything was okay. You know, it wasn't as if Jesus didn't know the Spirit was there. So when Kenneth Hagin got tired of it, and as I use Spirit, you know, that's disturbing my conversation, I cast you out in Jesus' name, you know, and get out, you know, stop disturbing my conversation. Then the Spirit went out. Then Jesus continued talking. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, if you didn't do anything about it, I would not have been able to do anything about it. Kenneth Hagin was shocked. He said, Lord, I've never heard anything like that in all my years as a Christian. There's nothing you can't do. He said, oh yes, there is. I can't break my word. He said, I gave authority to cast out the devil to the church. If you didn't do anything, I would not have been able to do anything. Then he gave him scriptures. You know, we shall cast out devils, resist the devil. You know, he gave it from about three or four witnesses. Paul, Jesus, you know, Peter, you know, whom resisted faith. He said, if you don't resist the devil, he said, there's nothing I'll do. The responsibility and the authority is yours, you know. And you know, Kenyon, he told the Lord, he said, Jesus, I know it's you. I know you're talking to me, but if you don't give me scripture, I am not going to accept what you've just said. And that's why he quoted all those scriptures to him. He quoted Mark 16. He quoted 1 Peter chapter 5. He quoted James, you know, chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, he quoted, I think, Ephesians. He said, the responsibility to deal with the devil is with the church. It's not with me. I'm the head, but the church is my body. And everything I do on the earth, I do it through my body. You don't do anything about it, nothing will be done. He said, if you hadn't stopped that devil, I would have just kept on talking and you would have missed everything I said. If you didn't do something about it. That's an example of what we mean, that you don't follow blindly. So no matter who it is, whether it's Paul or Kenneth Hagin or Olubi Johnson or whoever, check me out. Go back and find out from scripture if what I said is actually so. They said the Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to find out if these things were so. Don't just accept it because of man. Even when you know the man is right, go and check the scripture yourself so the Holy Spirit can even explain it to you better. And that's what but the grace of God which is with me, I've done over the years. You know, I've not followed anybody blindly. I didn't follow Kenneth Hagin blindly. I didn't follow E.W. Kenyon blindly. I didn't follow Kenneth Copeland blindly. You know, I didn't follow any of my spiritual fathers, Yonggi Cho, you know, the prophetic fathers, you know, S.G. Elton, Bill Britton, George Warnock, you know, lately, you know, Ralph Martin, you know, and Kelly Verner. All these guys, I never followed them blindly. Never. I go and find out what they say, then I go and check it in the scripture, and many times the Holy Spirit will not only confirm to me what they say, and they give me more illumination. And that's what you get. You see, a lot of Christians are very lazy. They don't want to go to the Word of God themselves. I've said this, and this context enables me to repeat it. It's an instruction. All my books, and you see, most of my books are not story books, they're instruction manuals. You know, one reason why I made my, you know, people don't, you know, people want stories. If I tell you stories and I don't tell you how to get the answer, what's the use? Besides, one of the disadvantages of telling too many stories is that people try and duplicate their stories in your life, in their lives. Whereas you're not supposed to do that. The stories are supposed to inspire you to go to the Bible yourself and find out how we did what we did. If I tell you a lot of stories, if you go and read E.W. Kenyon particularly, you find out very few stories. It's all instruction and understanding. Check out the epistles. Not the Acts of the Apostles contain some stories, but go and check out Paul's letters. Very few stories. That's how it is. Romans is not stories. 1 Corinthians is not stories. 2 Corinthians. Paul tells very little about his stories and experience. He just keeps telling you what the Bible, you know. He gives you revelation based on the Old Testament revelation. And that's the correct thing. Because if you give people too many stories, they become man-focused instead of God-focused. They try and duplicate the experience of the man in their own lives, you know. And like I was explaining on Sunday, they're trying to use another person's coefficients. You can't use Olubi Johnson's coefficients to solve the, you know, equation of your life. They can't conform to the image of Jesus. Your experience is unique. You have to work out your own salvation. And that's why God discourages, you know, using to even Jesus' life. We see all the stories of what Jesus did and all that to inspire us to the same level. But he now tells us how he did it. Who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers. Look at the book of Hebrews. Give Paul a clap offering, somebody. Look at Hebrews. You know, I said this over the years. Pastor G, what would we do without Hebrews? Hebrews is not stories. It's revelation after revelation after revelation. And the person that gives us, watch this. The greatest insight into how Jesus lived when he was on earth was not the 12 who were with him, but the one who was not with him, Paul. He said, I give unto you that which was delivered unto me. How the Lord Jesus Christ, same night, but he wasn't there. Which he was betrayed. He explains the concept of the blood covenant as well as the communion with a deeper understanding than those who are physically present. Revelation. Revelation. In the book of Hebrews, he gives us this key. What would we do without Hebrews? Who in the days, plural, offered up presence, supplication with strong characters, you know, and was heard in that he feared. That's the key. The fear of God. And praying in the spirit with all kinds of prayer on a daily basis. That's how Jesus did everything. You will not get that by reading the four Gospels. And if you now want to duplicate what's in the four Gospels without that, you're not going to get it. In fact, you'll fall flat on your face, which is what is happening to a lot of the church. The Pentecostal church today is trying to duplicate what Jesus did with the spirit with measure. You can't raise the dead, you know, like Jesus did. You cannot turn water to wine with the spirit with measure. It's not designed to do it. The purpose of the spirit with measure is very simple. One, because it is the former rain, just like in the natural. You have two rains in Israel, the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain is to soften the ground so you can plant the seed. That's its purpose. It is when the latter rain now comes that it now ripens what is inside the ground to bring forth the final harvest. In exactly the same way, the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, the initial outpouring is for us to get born again, soften our heart, put the seed inside, give us speaking in tongues so that we can understand the Bible, okay? And that's its work. So basically what it does is that it gives you that occasionally God gives us the gifts of the Spirit just to encourage us along the way. You know, but he doesn't give it to us permanently because we're not mature enough. Our character has not been developed enough. So he just, that's why it is as the Spirit wills. He gives a very short release of the Spirit without measure, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the gift of special faith, the workings of miracles, gifts of healings, prophecy, diversities of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. You know, all the in three categories, revelation gifts, power gifts, and utterance gifts, you know, but it's never permanent. But if you grow spiritually, you know what's going to happen? All this came to me over many years of praying and walking with God, the understanding. And I saw that the reason why we're failing, we're trying to do with the spirit with measure. We're trying to use the former rain to do only what the former and the latter rain together can do. So you're trying to pull somebody out of the wheelchair. You don't have that kind of anointing yet. Except when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And what happened in the 1940s, you know, late 40s, after World War II, a revival of divine healing came to the church. You know, through men like Kenneth Hagin, Gordon Lindsay, you know, William Branham, which is the one most people know about, you know, A.A. Allen, you know, Jack Coe, and many others, you know. And it was gifts of the Spirit. And it would come some, you know, and they would get the results sometimes. Then, when it didn't come, they now tried to manufacture it. And many of them got into error and died prematurely. The only people who survived that thing, three of them, I remember Kevin Hagin saying this many, many years ago. In fact, I was in that camp meeting. It was the camp meeting of 1980 that, by the grace and the mercy of God, God enabled me and privileged me to attend. Kevin Hagin was there. Oral Roberts was there, and T.L. Osborne was there. So he called one of the evenings, Brother Hagin called T.L. Osborne, and they're all dead now. Most of this generation doesn't even know who I'm talking about, which is sad, because if you don't know your history, you cannot know your future. And, you know, Brother Hagin called T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, and took to the platform. So all the three of them stood on the platform. Then Kenneth Hagin now said, all the three of us were in the Voice of Healings in the 1940s. We're the only three that are still alive. And he said, and I said it at that time. I said, when all of you are gone, I'll still be here because I'm basing my ministry not on gifts but on the word. And that's exactly what happened. Some guys who had more miracles than Kenneth Hagin, because through the gifts of the Spirit, because they try to build their lives on the gifts. You can't build your life on gifts. You have to build your life on the Word. And Kenyon said, the reason why I'm alive, T.L. Osborne is alive, Oral Roberts is alive, all three of us here are the only three surviving from that revival. And by this time, they were in their 70s, late 60s or early 70s. This is 40 years ago, you know, 1980. You know, and Brother Higgins said, you younger generation, you better learn from that. Don't build on gifts. Don't build on miracles. Build on the word. Then the word will now bring gifts. And it will now bring miracles. Watch this. As the Spirit wills. Why? Because of our growth. That's why God will not put that power in the hand of immature Christians. We're going to see more of that today as we go into our lesson. So, you know, this is what happened. And this is what we, this generation, needs to learn. Thank God for what we got. Thank God for the former rain. But its purpose is to get people born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you teach them to become disciples so they can start growing. So they can let us press on. So they can now press on, you know, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pressed for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our job. When we now get that, we will now inherit the former and the latter reign together. And this time, it will be on a permanent basis like it was in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. You don't see Jesus, you know, in his ministry. That's why it took years of studying carefully with an honest heart for us to unravel some of these truths. You never see Jesus in his earthly ministry, you know, saying things like, "Thus said the Lord." There's no need for it. You know why? Anything he said was thus said the Lord. Because he had grown. He said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. Everything you hear me say is what I hear my Father say. But you don't get there overnight. You grow into it. And this is what happens. This Lord showed me this many years ago. I wrote it. It's in our articles on the website. And we also taught it in School of Ministry. We did School of Ministry in 1998, 99, 2000, 2001. We did it for about 4 or 5 years. We're going to resume when the Spirit without measure comes. And this time you can't just come. There's certain prerequisites. You not only must be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, you have to have been discipled to a certain level. If you haven't, you can't come. There's no point in me wasting my time. I'm going to, you know, spend time on people who are fully committed. And I don't want talk. I want proof. Amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. And I'm trusting God, you know, between this year and next year, we'll start again. You know, but it's going to be, the criteria for coming will be, you have to be like the 12 apostles or the 70. If you don't meet that criteria, you can't come. You know, it's only for committed disciples who've proven it by their lives, you know, not by their talk. So the Lord said this to me. He said, as you grow into the fullness of Christ, what's going to happen is this. You know, the gifts, using the gifts of the Spirit, you know, as a platform with which to understand it. After a while, your ordinary speech will be like prophecy. You see, Jesus' ordinary speech became like prophecy. He would just say, oh, in the end time, there will be, you know, it would be like unto 10 virgins. He never prefaced it with thus said the Lord, but it was thus said the Lord. His prophetic teaching had become like prophecy. And that's what we, by the grace of God, mercy of God, I'm approaching to some degree. You know, I just give a prophetic something and it finds it's prophecy. Without having to put thus said the Lord on it. Then your ordinary faith will now produce the results of special faith, which is gifts of healings and workings of miracles, just by speaking. You don't find Jesus, you know, he would just speak the word. For instance, the nobleman's son, you know, who were sick, you know, they came to Jesus and Jesus said, you guys, you don't have faith. You know, this is Willoughby Johnson paraphrase. He said, except you see miracles, you will not believe. He said, okay, don't worry. Go your way, your son is healed. But Jesus wasn't there. He didn't lay hands on the boy. But by the time the guy got there, the boy had begun to amend. That's an exact. You see, that's what we're going to come to. Some of us are already coming into it little by little. That's why you see at the end of every service, now I pray for the sick. I was instructed to do that. Because the power to heal is already in the air. But you see, even in the time of Jesus, if you didn't believe, you won't get it. Remember with the man with issue of blood. A lot of people were touching him, but power didn't flow except to that one woman that touched in faith. When spirit without measure is in operation, it requires a little degree of the faith of the individual. Not much. They don't need to know the Bible. They don't need to speak in tongues. They just need to have just that little faith. Look at the centurion. The centurion was not even a Christian. He wasn't even a Jew. He just said, Jesus said, you know, he said, please come to my house and heal my servant. Jesus said, okay, I'll come. The Jews convinced him because he had a legal basis, even though he was a Gentile, because he had built them a synagogue. The Bible says, "Bless whoever blesses Israel, I'll bless them." So Jesus had a legal basis on which to go. Observe something. Jesus always did things based on the word. It's the same reason why he did not heal at first the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, because she wasn't a Jew. And at that time, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she didn't understand. And neither did Peter, James, and John, and the others. They thought that Jesus was just being wicked. He wasn't. You know, and she kept troubling him. And Jesus said, you don't understand. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You know, you don't understand, darling. I just can't do that because you're a Jew. You're a Gentile. You're a dog. I'm being honest with you. You know, but he didn't. Jesus was nice. He didn't say that. He just kept quiet. And so after a while, they kept disturbing him. And, you know, I said, look, send her away. And Jesus had to now open his mouth to explain. He didn't want to hurt her feelings. But when they now pressed him, he said, you don't understand. You do not take the children's bread and give them to dogs. And that's how the derogatory expression for the Gentiles at that day. And really, they were dogs, spiritually speaking. But you know what dogs do? Two characteristics of dogs. They eat anything. That's why dogs eat their own vomit. And then dogs are very promiscuous in sex. You know, a dog can sleep with his own, he can have sex with his own mother or his sister. They don't discriminate, you know. Once the female dog is on heat, do you understand? The dogs are, a lot of human beings are like that. Just like dogs, especially in the Gentile world. That's why the Jews refer to them as dogs. You know, they were, especially in the ancient world, in the Roman Empire and all of that. And it's still true today. In a lot of, if you go to many of societies today, in England, America, you know, people are like dogs. Somebody can meet a girl and sleep with her that night. You don't even know the person. You're meeting a nightclub. You know, they call it a one-night stand. Pastor G, remember? God have mercy on us. Meet a girl, you know, you don't know. That's how dogs behave. You understand? I remember before I became a Christian, you know, guys used to do two timing, three timing. One guy, he will have a girlfriend, he'll be sleeping with her. Then he will have her friend, he'll be sleeping with her. Then he will have another one, and he'll be sleeping with her. All that, it was all very common in UI. And you know, I'm saying this now for young people, so you don't go get into that nonsense. You know, it'll destroy your life. Bible says, you know, you sin against your body, you know. And, you know, God helped me as an unbeliever. I wasn't a Christian then. I didn't know the Bible. But I had an honest heart. The Bible says, the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature things. You know what I used to tell my guys, my friends, because I didn't do that. When I look back now, it's the mercy and the grace of God. You know, I mean, I had girlfriends and all of that. But I used to tell them, I said, if she was your sister, would you do that? I tell my friends, I say, look, if you don't want to, just let her go. But, you know, it's wrong for you to be having an affair with her. Then at the same time, you know, guys used to boast about it. It was the, you know, the thing that made you a guy. You know, that girl, you know, and people boast. And that's why you girls keep your legs closed. Don't let any silly guy just come and sleep with you anyhow. Have some self-respect, for God's sake. Are you listening to me? I don't know how I got off into that, but somebody needs it. Both boy and girl. Especially the young ones. You know, keep your self-respect. And you know, even amongst guys, when we're in UI, I remember, there were two kinds of girls. Girlfriends and wife material. And they used to say it amongst themselves. They say, oh, that one is girlfriend. But this one can be wife material. Based on their promiscuity. Hello? As unbelievers. So you don't want to be, you know, have a reputation that this one slept with you and this one slept with you and this one slept with you and this one slept with you. You know, you'll hardly find anybody who will marry you. Because guys aren't stupid. You know, thank God for the blood of Jesus. And thank God for being born again. When you get born again, all that is something. And, you know, then you become a Christian and God can give you a nice husband. You know, but you don't want to, you don't want to do that. So that's why Jesus called them dogs. That's why the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. So he now said, look, you don't understand. I can't heal your daughter because I can't give the bread. And the woman was ingenious. And she refused to be offended. You know why? It's the truth. God's word may hurt you, but it's the truth. And if you accept, it says, you know, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. If you accept God's word, even though it may hurt your feelings, and say, okay, God, it's true. Please help me. He will help you. So the woman said, even the dogs take the crumbs from the table. Jesus had a basis to heal. Immediately, the spirit without measure went into operation and said, daughter, for this sake, thy daughter is healed. Instantly. Even though he was not there physically, the daughter was at home. By the time she got there, the girl was healed. The nobleman saw. Jesus said, you know, thy son liveth. By the time he got there. So what I'm saying is that all the people, if you want to be a part of this spirit without measure and enjoy it, you need to have a certain amount of faith. Not faith like the Christian, you know, developing and growth, but, you know, just faith in the fact that that anointing is on that person and you believe it. All the people who believed during Jesus' ministry got healed. Watch this. All the people who did not believe didn't get healed. He could do no mighty work in Nazareth. It wasn't for a lack of the spirit without measure. It was a lack of the faith of the people. So it is now. If you don't believe, you don't get it. You believe, you get it. If you can't say amen, say, oh, me. Hello? Oh, yeah. You believe, you get it. You know, the spirit without measure, it's, you know, it's being released. And if you believe, you will get it. You know, so you find multitudes. Multitudes. They will go, Bible says, and virtue went out of him and healed them all. They believed. You know, that's how the woman with the issue says she had heard. She had heard. So she now went. She had heard this. It happened to this one. It happened to this one. Her blind Bartimaeus. And in practically all of these cases, the people who initiated the miracle was not Jesus. It was the people. It wasn't Jesus who initiated it. Men and Jesus didn't even know. Like a woman with the issue of blood, he didn't even know who he was. Some is going to be with us too. See, people who just have heard. That's why I thank God for YouTube now, the internet. These are vital tools we're going to need now. People just hear. And where they are, they can be in Japan, they can be in Russia, they can be anywhere. The healing will just go. Pew. That's why I pray. You see, when I pray, I'm not only praying for you here. I'm praying for anybody who watches and will believe God's word. And God will heal them. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You know, so you find, you know, God just healing people in Jesus' ministry, you know, people who didn't, who you would even consider the rejects of society. Like blind Bartimaeus. He's going to Jericho. He's passing through. He's a poor, blind, wretched beggar on the side of the road. Jesus is going on an important, he's on the way to Jerusalem to go and fulfill his destiny. You understand? His face is set, you know. And as he passes by, this man starts screaming, Jesus, Son of David. He calls him by his prophetic name. Son of David means Messiah. He didn't call him Jesus of Nazareth, although he was that too. He didn't even call him prophet or rabbi. He called him by his prophetic name. Jesus! Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He had heard Jesus had been healing so many people. And now he heard that he's passing by. Ah, he will not pass today without God. That anointing that has been healing all these people that I've heard about, I'm going to get my own today. Jesus, Son of David. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still. All people are trying to discourage him. Say, shut up! It's the Olubi Johnson translation. 2021. Stop disturbing the master. You know, people are talking, you are making noise. Ah, master is under an important vision. Come, keep quiet. Bible says, the more they said, the more. Like I said many times when I preached from this, you know, it was not them that was blind, it was him. Don't mind them. Amen. Amen. Jesus! He cried even the more. Bible says, and Jesus stood still. He got his attention. He said, bring him to me. You know, human beings are so fickle. Some people were saying, shut up, said, oh yeah, the master called it for this. Human beings are so fickle. Otherwise, you never put your trust in man. So they bring you to Jesus. It's very interesting. Jesus doesn't heal him. Faith. See, there must be that little element of faith. What would thou that I should do unto thee? He could see he was blind. Just didn't assume. If the man had said, please, I need some money to eat, he would have said, Judas. And Jesus would have gone on. Trust me. You will have what you ask for. He said, oh Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. The Bible says, instantly, that's the spirit without measure and operation. His eyes popped open and said he began to follow Jesus. What am I saying? That's what's coming, folks. The hour is coming and now is where people will be healed like that under our in our lives and in our ministry, just like that. Instant healing of the sick, instant cleansing of lepers, instant raising of the dead, instant casting out of devils. Hallelujah. That it might be fulfilled, Pastor G, that which is written, that thy saving health may be known amongst all nations. Healing is the children's bread. The most common thing, I've said this before over the years, and I'm going to repeat it now because it's a prophetic truth and word. Do you understand? Instant healing of the sick, instant cleansing of lepers will be as common as tongues is now. You can't say amen, say omi. That's how common it will be. You see, as common as tongues is now, everybody, not, and incidentally, as common as tongues is now, not everybody speaks in tongues, but it's very common. It's no longer a, when I got born again 40 years ago, tongues was a novelty, particularly here in Nigeria. You know, when I came to Nigeria, you know, very few people were speaking in tongues. A few were, because it had started in the University of Ibadan and it had spread, but it was, even in the uni, even in the campus, it was, the campus was split. Half were speaking in tongues, half were not. People didn't believe it. I remember when we started scripture, Pastor, to the glory of God. You know, we started scripture 984, 85. People say, if you want Holy Ghost, go to scripture, Pastor. You know, hundreds, if not thousands, have passed to scripture, Pastor, who didn't become, maybe they didn't stay in scripture, Pastor, for a long time, but at least they came there and got the Holy Ghost. I remember one particular person I met. I'm not going to mention his name. You know, he's in one big denomination now. You know, he met me some years ago on the plane, you know, and then he came to introduce himself to me. He said, I'm Pastor so-and-so place. I said, oh, good. Nice to hear you, you know, to meet you. He said, Pastor Olubi, I got the Holy Ghost in your church. Years and years ago. I can tell you, many, many pastors I have met over the years, you know, come to me and say, I came to scripture, Pastor. That's where I got the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because I taught it systematically. As I learned from Kenneth Hagin, I taught it systematically. Do this, do this, do this, do this, believe, and you get it. It's getting the Holy Spirit, you know. So it became, with that, it spread, I can say, to the glory of God. And by the grace and the mercy of God, that our ministry was one of the key ministries that spread the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Nigeria. Wherever I went, all over Nigeria, you know, I just taught it. People got filled with the Holy Spirit like that. There was no big deal about it. So tongues has become common. In the same way, instant healing will become common. Instant cleansing of lepers. Though it will no longer be a big deal. And like I said many years ago, when I was preaching on this, you know, the supply will outstrip the demand, so the price will fall. See, right now, people are charging a lot of money. If you want to get your so-called miracle, and many times you don't even get the miracle. Or the devil gives it. Now to keep people, but the hour is coming and now is where, you know, it will be so common. Young Christians 1-2 years old in the Lord who have learned to be disciples and have heard the borrowed anointing will be healing the sick. So you don't have to come to Pastor Olubi to get healed. The little boy in your neighborhood down the road who is, you know, 14, 15 years old, say, I pray for you. Instant cleansing of lepers. It will be that common. Watch this. It will also show the difference between gold, silver, wood, and earth. Because you see, the ones who are following, like Peter, James, and John, and the 12 and the 70, you know, will have it. The ones who are not following will not have it. And people will be able to tell the difference. It says the fire will make a distinction. That fire is a type of the manifested power of God. It will make a difference. You this thing is not a paper certificate. It's not, I go to scripture pasture. The question is it manifesting through you? You're my disciple. Let me see the proof. The proof will be, can you pray for the sick? Do they get instantly healed? Do they, the lepers, you know, when you speak God's word, does it get instant something? If it doesn't, you're not. End of story. Now it's different between the 12, the 70, and the other, and the multitude. Jesus had a whole lot of people following him. But only just about 100 people out of all of that were actual disciples, that were actually following, and it showed up. So shall it be now. If I didn't hear amen, you can't say amen, say oh me. Anything I'm saying now is not in my notes. It's all coming by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's a challenge to you and me. Imagine me who is doing the talking and I can't do it. You know, so I must know what I'm talking about, you know, because I'm, by the grace of mercy, God, I'm a hypocrite. You know, so you can't, there's no way to play games with this stuff. And so we're going to heal the sick. We're going to cleanse the lepers. We're going to raise the dead on a consistent basis. That we might grow up into him in all things. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is not lowering the standard. The same results will be producing them, at least at this level of healing the sick. See, healing the sick is one of the fundamental benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, go out, he didn't say, you know, give them prosperity, although you will get that too. But the major sign was healing the sick. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's it. But the other things will also come. But that, basically, that's it. So, disciples will inherit that spirit without measure or have a borrowed portion of it and will be able to do that on a consistent basis. And people will know the difference. They will know that this one has it, this one doesn't have it. Just like now, you know, you can know the difference between the guy who prays in tongues and the guy who doesn't. So it shall it be. And so that's why we're studying all of these things. And when the third day, and Jesus is our pattern, and he's our goal, and that's why we're studying all things we're studying, practicing, more importantly, studying and practicing all these things, the seven pillars of wisdom, you know, the fear of God, which includes honesty and humility of heart, praying in the Spirit, binding the devil, confession of the Word, meditation in the Word, practice of God's word, fasting and praying, you know, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to grow up into the fullness of Christ so that we can inherit the borrowed anointing like the 12 and the 70, and then later on grow into the fullness of Christ ourselves and inherit the full anointing so that those same things in Jesus will be in us. You know, can you imagine, Pastor G, can you imagine a world? When I say world now, you know, this our 21st century world, where we have, you know, like maybe 300 people who are exactly like Jesus. When I say exactly, it means they're doing the same miracles, you know, on a consistent basis. And you know what John said? He said, if the miracles Jesus did were written, he said, the world cannot contain the books. Now, watch this. Imagine if we have 300 that are exactly like that. You know the answer? Is in Numbers 14:21 and Habakkuk. He said, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So you're just one of them. The miracles he will be doing, the world will not be able to contain. So imagine three of them, 300. Then from 300, it goes to 3,000. Then from 3,000, it goes to 300,000. 3 million. Before we get there, the rapture would have happened. Trust me. They will fill the earth. Because for each of those 300, they will have another 100 under them that have the borrowed anointing. They will fan out to every tribe, tongue, and kindred, carrying the glory of God. Hallelujah. Then shall come to pass that which was written by the prophets. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. It's not theory, folks. It's going to happen. And all this we're studying and practicing is to prepare us not to be spectators of this great glory that is coming, but to be participators. Whether you're a participator or a spectator depends on you. The choices you're making now, the practicing, the things you are practicing now will determine whether you will actually inherit this and manifest it, or you just be an onlooker. Like it was in the Acts of the Apostles. I read the Acts of the Apostles and miss Jesus' ministry. Isn't it amazing that 15, 20,000 people will eat bread and fish under Jesus' ministry and get blessed by that miracle, but out of that 20,000, only 100 will be chosen to carry the borrowed anointing. Then shall come to pass that which is written, many are called, but few are chosen. Because only few make the right necessary choices and discipline. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let me just say this. Another scripture just popped into my heart. I'm speaking purely by the Spirit. Well, it's not in my notes. You know, but I want to encourage you. Do you know that in Jesus' ministry, you know, this 100 disciples who carried the anointing, and then the multitude that, watch this, the multitude enjoyed the benefit of the anointing, but did not carry it. Only the 100 carried it. And you know why? I'll give you scripture. The rich young ruler, he's a nice guy. But niceness won't get the anointing. What will get the anointing is following. He goes to Jesus and said, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, no problem. He said, you know the commandments. He said, yeah. He said, I've kept all of them for my... This guy was keeping moral law according to Romans chapter 2 verse 15. The Gentiles which have not the law do by nature. So he wasn't lying. I honor my father and my mother. I don't commit adultery. I don't steal. Jesus looked at him, loved him. Ah, this is a candidate for discipleship. So he gives him a simple test. I'm going to be talking about this on Sunday. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss Sunday. We have another prosperity message coming up. But it will be different. You know, seriously, I just downloaded the message yesterday, today. Now, watch this. So, Jesus, looking at him, loved him, said, you have a problem. Your money is your problem. It's not having the money that was the problem. It was the money having you. You trust too much in your money. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. So, Jesus tells him, said, you know what you're going to do? Go and sell everything. Ouch. I didn't hear one amen. Give it to the poor. I'm going to talk about this on Sunday, so I'm not going to go into detail now. Take up your cross. He said that specifically. And follow me. That's the key to discipleship. The Bible says the man went away sad because he had great possessions. I'll just give you a little bit of insight. His trust was in that money. There's nothing wrong having money. But there's plenty wrong in your trust being in the money. Your trust should be in God. But it's not as easy as that, especially when you have a lot of money and it's in the bank and you're looking at the bank balance. You know it's available. So the trust in God deteriorates. And then the trust in the money increases. So the Bible says that if riches increase, set not your heart on them. Because it can disappear overnight. Ask Mike Zuckerberg. There was an outage on Facebook. Just 6 hours yesterday. His share price dropped by $6 billion in less than 24 hours. I'm sure he'll make it back up. You know, I trust he'll, you know. I don't say that with any joy or, I'm not against him. I'm just trying to say, in this world, you cannot go and put your trust in anything. An earthquake overnight can completely, you know, wipe out a person's assets and fortunes. Yeah. Then you have real estate here and you have real estate here and you have real estate. One earthquake, one fire, it's all gone overnight. But you know your heart will not move if your heart is in God. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be. But if your trust is in those things, that's why people commit suicide. In 1929, stock crash. You know, in 1929, there was a stock market crash just before the Great Depression. Of 1930, 31, 32, 33, before FDR became president of America, men were committing suicide because all their fortunes wiped out overnight. You know why? They were trusting in that. Why would I kill myself? Simply because if it was God who gave it to me, then I can always trust God to bring another one. So it would be stupid for me to kill myself and go to hell for nothing. I don't know why I'm preaching on this message. But I'll tell you something. You know what happened? God, Jesus told the man, he went away sad. He didn't. In other words, he couldn't agree to those terms. Like a lot of people today. Come on, Sunday. I maybe want prosperity here. You know, we're in a Shemitah here. We're going to continue talking about the Shemitah here and the conditions. Now, watch this. So Jesus, the man goes away sad. The man has gone. Peter now gets up and says, no. We have left all. What the rich young ruler refused to do, Peter had done it. James had done it. John had done it. Matthew had done it. Andrew had done it. All of them, the 12 and the 70, they had done it. They didn't necessarily sell everything, but their trust in those things, they had detached from it. And they had made a total commitment to Jesus. And every day they were carrying their cross by praying and following Jesus' footsteps. He said, Lord, we have left all and forsaken all. What are we going to have? Then he gives him that great prosperity, hundredfold return promise. That is not Kenneth Copeland's doctrine. It's Jesus' own. I know Kenneth Copeland preached it, and I, Olubi Johnson, by the grace of the mercy of God, following Kenneth Copeland, I preached it too. Do you understand? Hundredfold return. It's not hundredfold, you know, jackpot return that you give it today and then 2 weeks later you get it. No, it's a lifetime thing. Jesus said, there is no man that has left house and brethren and all, you know, sisters and mother and all of that. He said, in this lifetime, it's not something we get when we get to heaven. Hundredfold return is a promise for this lifetime. He said, he will receive 100-fold in his lifetime. Jesus was going to make that rich young ruler 100 times richer than what he was. And free his heart from covetousness. It was a win-win situation for the guy. But he didn't understand. Later on, we understand he was Barnabas. Then later in the Acts of the Apostles, he now became an apostle. Then he sold. Then he brought the money to the apostles' feet. So God still had mercy on him and helped him. But he didn't get as much as he could have gotten. Had he joined at that time, do you understand? He would have been an apostle like the first 12. Who would have been the natural replacement for Judas Iscariot? Barnabas. Today, his name would have been etched in the foundations of the heavenly Jerusalem. He would have been one of the 12 that would sit on 12 thrones, judging the whole tribe of Israel. He still had a good heritage. But not as good as he would have got. May God have mercy on us. If you can't say amen, say with me, somebody. Stop looking at me funny. Hello? And you know what Jesus said? And this is what I want to bring out, and then we'll get into the... We haven't even said the message, Pastor Green. This is just, you know, I'm just flowing with the Spirit, you know. And Jesus said, you are they that continued with me in my temptations. You see, folks, when you make up your mind and you follow Jesus, you will never lose. Amen. And trust me, all those men in their lifetime, God bless them. They gave most of it away and went out on missionary journeys, you know, and some of them died violent deaths. But they had resources. They weren't poor at all. Jesus promised them. He said, 100-fold in this lifetime. Come on Sunday for the rest. I don't want to get off into that now. But you see, what God is telling us is this. If you want the borrowed anointing, if you want this instant healing of the sick and all that, you have to continue in those temptations. You have to take up your cross daily. And for if you don't, you're not going to get it. I didn't hear amen. Now, let's get into the message for today. John 16. So we want to grow like Jesus so that we can inherit this borrowed anointing firstly and then later on the full thing. And so we can heal the sick instantly, constantly, consistently. You know, cleanse lepers, raise the dead. Can you imagine being in your life, you know, where you have that anointing flowing, life of God being manifest in your mortal body? You don't even have to try and pray for people. They just know you have it. So they just touch your body or touch your car. Yeah, it's going to happen. In Jesus' days, they didn't have cars, you know. Yeah, yeah, and we see a manifestation of that in Peter's ministry in Jerusalem. The Bible says even his shadow. Shadow is just another word, another simplified version of saying sphere of influence. You know, a shadow usually is about your height. So everything within that circumference, within that sphere, anybody that comes in within that something, instantly they get healed. Imagine that in Ibadan. You don't have to pray for anybody. You're going home. Anybody that comes near your car, inside that radius that needs healing and believes that that anointing is on you without disturbing you, 100 people would have been healed before you go home. That's the meaning of revival. That's what's coming. And what I just said is a small thing. You know, I just giving you a little picture. Because you know what the scripture says? It says that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. The hour is coming now. Is those kind of miracles just be happening. 100 people healed like that. And it will not be Pastor Olubi. It will not be the senior pastor. It will just be an ordinary saint in the church. Who's following after? Amen. Amen. Yeah? Well, the guy doesn't even have a car. And he goes into a Danfo or a taxi. Or Pepe Nake, everybody in the Pepe can get healed. Oh, yeah. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. I mean, scream somebody. Just step inside the Keke Napep, you know, or inside the bus. And everybody in the bus gets healed. You don't pray, no show off. No special offering. Just keep your mouth quiet, you know. And they don't discover they're healed until after you've left. And they check their body. Who did that? They don't even know. The man has already conveyed himself to another place. Because it's not going to be human-centered. And it's not going to be for the glory of man. It's going to be for the glory of God. Trust me, they will find out what church you come to. And the next Sunday, the church will not be able to contain the people who come. So that's the whole idea. He's saving health to be known among all nations. Then they will now be willing to hear what we have to say. Have I said anything to help anybody here? John chapter 16. We got to close. Jesus is Lord. Oh! How can I spend a whole message on the introduction? No. have to finish my message. Okay, I'll see what I can do, and we'll take it up from there. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 27. The Father himself loveth you. Everybody can remember that. You know, I said God loves us as he loved Jesus. You know, now what we're going to look at tonight is 29 through 33. I'll see what I can do in the next 5 minutes. And if I don't finish it, then we'll pick it up in our next lesson. John 16, 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? For by this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Now, you know, he wasn't putting them down. He was just trying to say, you think you believe, but you don't really believe as much as you think you'd believe. But he wasn't saying it in a bad way. He was saying it, you know, so that, you know, they'll be encouraged when the things happen. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. See, when I said I'm just copying Jesus, that's how we used to talk. That you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. We also mentioned this last time. You know, you should be alone, but never lonely. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, we'll come and make our abode with him. Though he's invisible, but he's there. One thing you must cultivate in your Christian life, and God has been having mercy on me to help me to do it. I'm getting better and better at it, is to cultivate the consciousness of the reality of God's presence. I'm learning that. I'm still learning it. You know, God's there all the time. He's there. The problem is that we don't see him because we have not learned, we have not trained our minds to see the invisible. But the hour is coming, and now is where you will see the invisible as clearly as you see the visible. In your heart, see the Lord Jesus, see the Father. That's why in intensive school I say, set the Lord like David. The Lord is my shade on my right hand. He's there. He's my friend. Like I said last week, you know, you want somebody to talk to, he's there. Say, I need somebody to talk to. I need counsel. His man is there. So talk to him. And then do it in a heavenly language. Introduce your topic in your natural language. Then go into details in the heavenly language. Say, Lord, you know, this is worrying me. This finances, this money that has not come in. I don't know what's going to happen. All that. But Lord, you say you will help me. So, okay, let's start talking about it. Yeah. By the time you do that for 1 hour, do you understand? God will talk to you. And he will calm you down. I got a word today, Pastor G. Let me share it now. I didn't know I was going to share it now. God gave it to me and said, if I want you to share it, I'll give you the opportunity. He's done it now. Watch this. This is one of what the Bible says. You know, it's an acceptable saying, worthy of all acceptation. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith grows by praying, and praying the word of God by the Spirit. I'm going to repeat it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it grows by praying the word of God in the Spirit. Building up yourself out your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And you see, the reason why people don't have strong faith is because they don't pray much in the Spirit. The more you pray in the Spirit with the foundation of God's Word, the more your faith will grow. It doesn't grow by hearing more of the Word of God. It grows by praying and praying more of the Word of God by the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You can say amen, say omi. So if you pray a lot in the Spirit, your faith will get stronger and stronger. And you know what? The invisible things will become clearer and clearer. God's presence will be clear. The Holy Ghost will be clear. The Lord Jesus Christ will be clear. So when you are in trouble, you won't start running around like a chicken with his head cut off, like other men. You just go to your Father. I say, Father, please, you know. And we'll talk about it in tongues. Then the solution. Said he that speak and speak mysteries. The secret of the wisdom of that situation, it will come to you. Then in quietness and confidence shall your strength be. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request stop behaving like a person who is an orphan that does not have a father. And the peace of God. which pass on shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But observe, the way that operates is because in everything we pray and supplication. He didn't put in the Spirit there, but it's implied, according to Ephesians 6:18. Pray a lot in the Spirit. If you pray always in the Spirit, your mind will be in calm. No matter the situation you're facing, the wisdom of how you're going to do it, the power of how it's going to solve will be released. And it will come first into your heart and it will calm your heart. The Amplified Bible says, like a garrison of soldiers in a turbulent country. Keep it calm. I didn't hear amen. Looks as if I'm stepping on toes here. He said, yet I'm not alone, but the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you. Jesus, help me. That in me, you might have peace. Oh, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, all these things I've been telling you from chapter 14, 15, 16, the Holy Ghost is your comforter and all that, I've told you so that in me, not in the world, you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But in me, you will have peace. There will be peace of mind. There will be peace of mind for you. You know? In me, you will have peace of mind. Through these things I've told you about, praying in the Spirit and all of that. When you have peace, you know, and you will overcome the tribulation. Jesus, I have to close with this. There's many things I wanted to say tonight I haven't said. But, you know, I'll do it next week. You know, for you to have peace, you have to pray frequently in the Spirit. Said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but it grows by praying the Word of God in the Spirit. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is why we're doing all the things we're doing. And we are going to inherit that Spirit. That former and latter reign together. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What an inheritance. That's our inheritance. It's not a house in Lekki. Or a fine car. No. My inheritance is without measure. The former and the latter reign together. That's my inheritance as a Christian. That's what I'm looking for in this lifetime. And then, when I now get the rapture, I now inherit an immortal body, and then I get all my other inheritance in heaven. But there's an inheritance for this life. Jesus said, in this lifetime, it'll give you, you get a hundredfold return. What's going to give that to you? The Spirit without measure. The wisdom that comes from it. The favor that comes from it. I shared this the other time. You know, can you imagine, you know, a guy with 100 houses. In any economy, he's a rich man. Some of us have 2, 3, or 4. And people think we have too much. 100. Land, thank you. Ibrahim is on ski. So, 100 houses and 100 lands. In any economy, you'll be a rich man. And that's what Jesus promised. But, it's not in 2 weeks. It's in a lifetime. Watch this. A lifetime that has been taking up its cross daily and following him. It's not for everybody. It is for everybody. Who will take up their cross daily and follow him? It's available. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Have I helped anybody here tonight? I don't know about you, but I preached me happy, like Papa Hagen would say. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Who? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Greater than anything. Oh, sing it, my sisters.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
More than my heart
can sing.
I love you, Lord.
I love
more than I love
Lord.
Myself.
More than I love myself.
I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I lift my hands.
I lift my hands.
Just came to me. He said, my son, give me your heart. God is a very simple person. Straightforward. He's not like us. That's why most of us don't understand him. He's not a hypocrite. He's not double-tongued. He doesn't say one thing and mean another. My son, give me your heart. I know you're born again. He's not talking about being born again. He says, give me your will. Give me your mind. Give me your emotions. That's all I'm asking. He said, oh man, God has shown to you what is right, that you should do justly and walk humbly with thy God. That's what man wants. He's straightforward. Our problem is dishonesty of heart. Pride. We'll deal with that next week. I was going to talk about that tonight, but there's no time. I said what God wanted me to say tonight. Dishonesty, pride, that's our main thing. Handling the word of God deceitfully. That's what is making us not get what God wants us to get. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't say one thing and do another. Or have double standards, think that God will do one thing for you and then do another. No. Honesty of heart. Humility of heart. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, reminding me we're living in the third day, a time in which the power of the Spirit without measure, the former and the latter rain together, is now available. And you have told us in your word that we should press on. For this prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, have mercy on me. Grant me fresh mercy and grace to continue to press on into you with all honesty and humility of heart. So that, Lord, I will be chosen to be one of those that will inherit the Spirit without measure and therefore demonstrate your healing virtue unto all nations according to your word. Oh God, I do this not because of power, but I do this to please you and to be a blessing to humanity, to deliver men from the bondage of corruption in this third day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Nika tolomo shala prikito frenenga. Mercy, Father. Sala prikito lomo shto kromo tolomo to fredesk. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amberke kama tolomo to fredesk. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Lord kromo tolomo to fredesk. Thank you for your blood. Amberke kromo tolomo to fredesk. For your life, shala prdolo sa. For your power, nia shake to fred. Langer tolomo tolomo. Ninka dolom tu fri de fresa. Doklom tolom tu fri de fresa. San. Dolom tu fri de fresa. Du fresa. Lambur clomatolos. Dolom tu fri de fresa. Ziki tu fri. Ombur clomatoros. Ninger dolosk. Jeleke koko. Dolom tu fres. Tu fri disk. Doklom tolom shengarsk. Tuske fre. Nufriningara. In Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you need healing for your body, or you're watching from home, wherever you are all over the world, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their soul. And there is healing power in the air by virtue of God's word that we have spoken. The Bible also tells us, it says, you know, when Jesus taught the word, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It's here. Just say, Father, I receive my healing. And I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. I release that healing power into your bodies. I release that healing power to deliver your minds, your emotions from every satanic oppression or depression. I cast you, spirits of infirmity and oppression, out in Jesus' name. I destroy your works. I resist and I bind you in Jesus' name. Father, I say they're healed now in Jesus' name. Just say, I receive my healing and I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name.